Delighted to say I've been joined in the studio by Dominic Ingle and Greg Marriott from Team Brook. Fellas, thanks for coming in today.
No problem, Rob.
No doubt you've been having a bit of a week off after all the preparations, Dom, that go into not just one fight, but two this summer so far for Kell Brook.
Yeah, I mean, we have a week off. We don't go on holiday anywhere. We just have a break from Kell. And, we've been on him for 9 months and... Like I always say, I think he's sick of looking at us too and being told what to do, and we're actually sick of looking at him. But we got the right result, and we're all happy.
Yeah, Greg, it was a good performance from Kell yet again, wasn't it? That, you know, just a comprehensive, routine defence of his world title. I think the performance that everybody expected, but he's still got to go out there and deliver, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's clinical performance. It's hard for Kell to get up to, for these fights. He wants the big fights. You know, in the dressing room before, he's like, oh, you know, it's hard for me to get up for this. So you'll be all right once you get in. And I think it took the round where he actually finished Gavin, and he come back after and said, I've only just switched on. You know, so he's looking for these big fights.
It's something that you talked about, isn't it, Dominic? After the fight, that going into it, it was hard to get up for that one compared to sort of a big world title fight the previous year.
Yeah, I mean, he had something to prove with Giorgio Dan. He'd been out, he'd been injured, he'd been, you know, nearly killed. And, you know, I think he had to prove to himself and everybody else, all the doubters with the injury to his leg, that he wanted to go out and put on a fantastic performance, which he did against Giorgio Dan. And the next fight, you know, Frankie Gavin was in a world title eliminator due to face Timothy Bradley as an eliminator to fight Kell. So you can't blame him for leapfrogging over Bradley and getting the fight with Kell. And, you know, I think Kell would have probably been more up for fighting Timothy Bradley. But he did a job on Frankie Gavin, 6 rounds. He'd never been stopped in his career. Very good amateur boxer, world amateur champion. And, you know, afterwards we spoke to Frankie Gavin, and he just couldn't believe how strong and how good Kell was. And he actually afterwards asked Greg if he could, sort him out a diet and get him down to 10 stone.
There you go, Greg. You're going to be touted out across the country now, are you, for all these fighters? It was a great atmosphere, wasn't it? I mean, the everything about that evening, it was a great card. You know, having had the opportunity to sit there and watch all the fights, it was great, but also good to see, I think, the reception that Kell got, and the British public are really taking to their world champions. James De Gale, they showed a shot of him at one point, looking surprised that he was getting a round of applause from the fans, but the fans are really getting behind Kell Brook as well. It's not just a Sheffield thing anymore, is it, Greg?
No, it's still a British thing, you know, everyone winning the titles, Lee Selby, you know, everybody doing something now. I think it's making a big name now in boxing. Everyone's looking, you know, but it's funny you said that about the atmosphere, because when you're ringside and with Kell, it's almost like you've switched off. You don't realise what's going on, and so you watch it back and you think, oh, actually it was like that, because you're so soaked in watching Kell, thinking, oh, you know, you miss everything. You got a bit of a world of your own for that, like for the fight.
Well, I can guarantee you, from where we were sat, the atmosphere was pretty good. But the great thing, Dom, is it's been described as sort of a golden age for British boxing at the moment. We've got, I think, 6 world champions. We've got other guys who are close as well, and right at the top is Kell Brook, isn't it? I mean, Eddie Hearn said that he could be the guy that ultimately replaces Karl Froch as Britain's sort of number one champion.
Yeah, you know, Kell Brook has been spearheading the operations, you know, for Matchroom. He went over to America, beat Sean Porter, which paved the way for everybody else. And since then, you know, James DeGale's done the same thing. The other night, we got another couple of world champions. Unluckily for Kevin Mitchell, he got beat, but he was in front on the scorecards. And if he could have made it through that round, you know, I think it would have gone to the scorecards because of the injury. And, you know, he was very, very unlucky not to win that fight. So it's coming to a good point in boxing. It's great. You know, the more world champions we have, the more interest it creates, the more fans you get. And, you know, the O2 Arena, I think it was nearly a sellout crowd, like 25,000 people. And like Greg said, you're so absorbed in the fight. Really, the atmosphere, what's going on around you, you blank it out. You're concentrating on what you're doing, and it's only afterwards, when you look back and you see, you know, the depth of it all, the crowd, the lights, that you realise that, you know, it was a massive buzz.
We're speaking to Dominic Ingle and Greg Marriott from the Kell Brook camp on BBC Radio Sheffield. It's coming up to 2:15. One of the interesting things, really, and you manage Kell's nutrition, and you make sure that he makes the weight and that he looks good. And how much of a challenge is that? Because Kell's always been described as a big, powerful welterweight, hasn't he?
Yeah. Kell, I'm not saying he struggles to make weight. No, he's a big welterweight, and it's hard for him to get down there. But Kell loves to eat. You know, and trying to give him the food, and he's like, well, he is good. He'll eat exactly what I tell him to eat, you know. But on the day of the fight, you know, make him weigh in. As soon as he's weighed in, right, you know, everyone wants to eat. And that's where a lot of boxers get the misunderstanding. They go out and they don't get the right rehydration in. And that's the key component of any boxer. You know, they've made weight. That's it now. As if it's already finished. You know, you've still got another day to go. You've got the fight to go. And that's the big key with Kel. You know, he gets his rehydration right, you know, and then he starts eating only when he's fully rehydrated.
So talk us through the process then. A fighter's gone up to have his weigh-in. He's done that. He's cleared the weight. What happens immediately afterwards? Are they immediately saying to you, Greg, what can I have to eat now? And are you providing them with a meal or are they having a lot of water? What is sort of the plan there?
Yeah, it's the water. You obviously have lost a lot salts in your body and different things trying to get down to that weight. So rehydration is the key. Get them fluids back in. You know, it could take three and a half hours before you even touch something to eat. A lot of boxers out there will be thinking, what? You know, you see a lot of people eating, you know, cheesecakes and drinking Coke and this and that. And it's, you've done all that preparation for an 8, 12, 16-week camp. And it's that key point right there, the rehydration process, where I've seen it time and time again. 95% of the boxers are getting it wrong. And it's imperative. The rehydration is imperative. So, but Kel knows now, you know, we've been through so many camps, he knows it's just that time. But when he's right, I'm ready to eat, and I'm thinking to myself, if I don't feed him in a minute, I'm going to get a chocolate brownie right hand, you know, kind of thing.
How tough is it for a fighter? Because they almost have to live like monks, or a lot of them do, when they're preparing for a huge fight, a world title fight, or a world title defence. And then they're that close to knowing, after the fight, they can probably have what they want. But just to give them sort of that little bit of a, I don't know, maybe it's just a boost so that they can have some, just feel good about themselves going into the fight. Is it tough to make it interesting for them, the meals that they have right before?
Not before the fight, no. The hardest thing about it is probably the 10 weeks into the camp. You know, when you get about 4 weeks out, it's that. It becomes boring because obviously dieting on its own, regardless, any dieter out there, regardless of what sport or if it's just to look good, it's one of the hardest things mentally. Added pressure of going into a fight, well, you're a world, you know, you've got the world title, everything's on the line, was looking at you. It's massive. So all them, obviously, things contribute. So it's added pressure. So when Kel's coming 4 weeks, 3 weeks before a fight, the pressure's really, really, so, you know, every day, oh, I've got to give you something new here. You know, just spicing something up. Oh, he's added another spice. It's amazing for him. You've just got to keep it really, really, yeah, interesting and versatile. Because if not, it'd probably fall off the plan. So it's very, very hard.
How key is the nutrition side of things? And while you work on Kel as a fighter and the tactics and everything that goes into a fight, making sure you're hydrated and you're eating right seems equally as important.
Definitely. I mean, Kel is the hardest trainer in the gym. What he puts himself through to get into shape, you only see very few people doing that. You know, Johnny Nelson could do it, Junior Whittaker could do it. And that's the difference between, you know, being good and being very good. And it's very important to be able to be fueled for those workouts. But, you know, Greg's got Kel worked out to a T. He put some little challenges in. Last time we were on camp, we had what they called the watermelon challenge. And, you know, he had like something like a 5 kilogram watermelon and chopped it up for Kel and says, you know, chomp your way through that. And it sounded great. And then 30 minutes into it, you know, Kel's getting bloated and he had to go and have a lay down. But for the next camp, I think we're going to devise a new method. I think what we're going to do is put him in a cage and just chuck his food through the bars and then just let him out to spawn, lock him back up again, because that's basically what it's like. If you don't keep an eye on him, you know, when we go on training camp, sometimes you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you think he's going to the toilet and you'll realise he's gone into the kitchen and he's looking through the cupboards for some nuts or something, but we keep everything either in the freezer or locked away. You can hear him scurrying around at night, you know, looking for food, and we just smile to ourselves. But, you know, he does have to put himself through a lot, restricting his calories and doing as he's told. I mean, nobody likes to be told what to eat. And like Greg says, not only has he got to diet, you know, he's got to train hard. He's got to get in the ring and get bashed around the head as well. It's, you know, it throws different angles every time.
If it was left up to him, what do you think he would have on the morning of a fight?
Well, he has on the morning of a fight. We always, you know, basically all his nutrition's been in. You know, after the weigh-in, he's rehydrated. He's eaten. He might be up till 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, getting his food in. And as a treat, he always insists on having a fry up for his breakfast. So he'll have some, you know, eggs, beans, bacon, sausage. But at that point, all the crucial food's already gone in. That meal in the morning just slows him down for the rest of the day. He'll have a big breakfast, and then he'll just snack throughout the afternoon, which is, you know, what he needs to do for his fight. And he gets to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he'll stop eating. It gives him five hours for his stomach to clear, and he gets in the ring, and he's digested all his food, and he's ready to go.
Because you look at Cal, and in particular, in the build-up to that world title fight, Greg, he just looks like he really has gone to another level, and we're seeing him with every fight looking even better and better.
Yeah, I've said that myself. I think I tweeted something to Eddie Hearn in Vegas because I was having a newborn, so I wasn't in Vegas. So, and I'm back and forth with Dominic and Kel. And the day of the weighing, I text Kel. I said, "Just send me a picture of yourself." And he sent me a picture, and I tweeted Eddie Hearn. I said, "You're going to see a different breed." You know, if the thing is. You see a lot of fighters, and you don't know who they are. They think, oh, he's going to win because he's in shape. It's not about being in shape. But when we know Kel's in shape, we know that he can take on anybody because he's that good. He's got the gift, you know, an unbelievable. He's a special one. He's super fit. If he's in shape and looks in great shape, he's unstoppable. So when he was in shape for the Sean Porter, and obviously after the horrific injury that he suffered, obviously in Tenerife, we were thinking, can he ever get back to what he did? And from where he was in the hospital bed to now, you know, you've got to take it after Kel.
You really do, because no one was really talking about it, Dom, ahead of the Frankie Gavin fight. It's almost as if it was forgotten almost that he'd been stabbed less than a year before.
But that's what happens, you know. It was a devastating moment. I can remember it clearly. I was sat down in Meadowhall having a coffee, and I got a phone call before it came into the news, because we've got contacts out in the Canary Islands, and, you know, I nearly poured my latte over my chest. And it was just unbelievable. But, you know, it was a big thing all the way up in the build-up to the Jojo Dan fight. And, you know, he got in the ring, he finished him off. And it was really never talked about since then. You know, he went into the Frankie Gavin fight and nobody even mentioned it. And it's almost, you know, it's like it's not affected him in one bit. Mentally, it might have affected him. But, you know, it was a near-death experience. And it's not the first one he's had. You know, he was stabbed before a few years, you know, when I think he was about 19 or 20. And, you know, I said to Greg, how many people do you know who's been stabbed once, let alone, you know, stabbed twice? So he's come through a lot, and that just shows, you know, when Kel's got the bit between his teeth, that's why you're seeing a different Kel Brook now. He's 29 years old, he's got two children, he's got a partner, he realises he's got everything to lose, and he's got to be switched on. And, you know, he needs these big fights to keep him switched on. He needs to be motivated. It's the fear what motivates Kel Brook. And he will always train and work to the level of the opponent. And, you know, I can't wait. If he can get that Mayweather fight, you know, that's going to go up another level again. Yeah. Because we almost, for Sean Porter, we had to hold him back. You know, he was up fresh every morning, training, ambitious, you know, raring to go. And obviously for the Mayweather fight, it's going to be the same thing again. It's easier when he's motivated like for fights.
It's really sort of to consider, Greg, what he could be, what kind of shape he could be in for that Mayweather fight. If he knows he's going to go out there and the world's going to be watching him against Mayweather, we can only imagine what kind of shape he's going to be in.
I've always said, still, I know there's a lot of people out there, you know, before even Sean Porter, sorry. And, you know, we knew we were going to do it, but, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, wasn't expecting to do it. We knew what he could capable of, but everyone said, you'd not seen the best of Kel Brook. And still, as a team, you know, I can tell you, because, you know, I think I see more of him than I do my partner. You know, you still haven't seen the best of Kel Brook. You really, really haven't. Once he gets that, them big fights, what he's been dreaming for since he's been 9 years old, you are going to see another level to Kel Brook. Shape, as in shape, fitness, everything switched on.
It's quite a proposition, that, isn't it, Dom? If he could get to an even another level, then you know, it's amazing what he could potentially achieve in this next 2 years.
Yeah, I always remember Kel on the scales against Sean Porter, and, you know, up until that point, I think Sean Porter, you know, this is going to be an easy fight, and Kel turned and looked at him and said, "Hold that belt tight and close, because tonight I'm taking it off you." And you could just see Sean Porter's face drop a little bit.
He was very confident, sure. I spoke to Sean Porter about 2 months before the fight, and he wasn't looking beyond Kel Brook, but he was talking about Mayweather himself. And I think if he won that fight, he probably would have fought Mayweather.
Yeah, you could see, like I say, you're right in that he was very confident. But when it came to the weighing, and Kel looked at him in the eye and said, "That belt's coming back with me," you know, Sean Porter had like a fake smile on his face. He almost trying to hold his self steady. Yeah. And you could see the confidence starting to drain out of him. And Kilgore's, when I looked at him, I knew that I got him. Because, you know, I'm in America. I'm on his own ground. And I'm telling him I'm going to take his belt. He's had two good wins, Malignaggi and Devin Alexander. And, you know, he's looking at me and thinking, I'm going to beat you. And I could see then his confidence started to go. And like I say, with me, it's another level again. Kel works on the fear factor. When you know you're getting in that ring with the best, you know, Kel goes up to another level. He did it with Porter, and we're expecting it when he gets into his next big fight, whether it be Khan, Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. You know, they're the fights what are really, really going to motivate him.
We are live on BBC Radio Sheffield. We'll talk more about what is potentially next for Kel Brook with Dominic Ingle and Greg Marriott live in the studio after the Human League.
Update. BBC Radio Sheffield.
Let's get the latest then at 2:30 with David James.
All fairly healthy so far. Just a couple of roadworks to be aware of. Glossop Road closed through Sheffield due to emergency repairs following a burst water main. It's closed between Upper Hanover Street and Wilkinson Street. Diversions via Clarkson Street. And the A57, the Snake Pass, that's closed as well between Lady Bower and Glossop as a result of ongoing work. Very slow on the A1 southbound at Elkersley as you head through the roadworks there, but no major hassles to report elsewhere. Rotherham's fine despite work around the Canclow roundabout and no problems to contend with through Barnsley or Doncaster. Public transport could be a little bit better. You've still got buses instead of Supertram between Fitzalan Square and Ponds Forge and Shalesmore as a result of engineering work. Anything else? 0114 256 1212.
BBC Radio Sheffield. BBC Radio Sheffield.
Your world. It's full of things that are important to you. From what's happening in the next street...
We will replace those 11 trees and maintain them on that network going forward.
The next town...
She said, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be having all this. I can't thank you enough for coming into my life.
Or even further afield.
We will offer whatever support is necessary to the Football Association to see that change realised.
If it's making the news in South Yorkshire and North Derbyshire, you don't just want to know about it, you want to understand it.
Bringing you essential information.
Your local news across your BBC. Here on Radio Sheffield, look north and online at bbc.co.uk/Sheffield.
Music and sport with Rob until 6 o'clock on BBC Radio Sheffield. Joining me in the studio in this hour is Dominic Ingle and Greg Marriott. Just to give you a quick update on the French Open, the women's final taking place. Serena Williams had just broken Lucy Safarova, so Williams 3-1 up in that final. And the news earlier that Andy Murray had lost in 5 sets to Novak Djokovic, who will face Stan Wawrinka in the final tomorrow. Right, we're talking about Kell Brooker, an emphatic victory over Frankie Gavin last weekend, and many people speculating on what might be next, and we'll come to speculation in America about a potential fight with Mayweather in a moment. But Brandon Rios, Dominic, is the name that Eddie Hearn has sort of singled out and said that'd be the ideal next fight for Kell Brook. We did hear from him not so long ago on BBC Radio Sheffield. This is what he said to the possibility of fighting Kell.
I have a lot of interest in this fight, man. Excited to go out there and perform. You know, I accept the challenge. You know, Kell Brooks is a big name, not only a big name, but, you know, he's a very, very slick boxer. I think the fans out there in England would love to see this fight too, as well as I will too.
So that's Brandon Rios. I suppose it makes a change, Dominic, to have somebody saying they actually want to fight Kell as opposed to dodging it for a couple of years.
Well, that's the thing in America. You know, you go to America and watch the fights, and, you know, the fighters just want to fight each other, and there's plenty of fights out there for them to do that. And Brandon Rios has got a good track record. He got beat on points by Manny Pacquiao. He put in a good performance, and then recently beat another guy called Mike Alvarado, who was a former world champion. So he's coming off some good fights. And his promoter is the same. You know, Bob Arum is a promoter of Manny Pacquiao. And I think a couple of weeks ago, Bob Arum actually said, you know, I'd like to make this fight between Rios and Kell Brook, and the winner fight Manny Pacquiao. And if that's not motivation enough for Kell Brook, I don't know what is. So, you know, that's the key. He fights Brandon Rios, puts in a good performance, beats him, you know, he's on track for Manny Pacquiao.
I suppose it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, that they can fight each other, whether it's August or September, and then when Pacquiao is healthy again, potentially at the start of next year or maybe the end of this year, that they could meet Pacquiao at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think Manny Pacquiao's got to the stage in his career where he doesn't need warm-up fights. You know, for him, he'll probably look and think Kell Brook's not, you know, the type of guy that he needs to have a warm-up fight for. It's a world title fight, and if he can beat Kell Brook, it brings him back into the mix. You know, he got beat by Floyd Mayweather, and he'll be looking for his way back in.
That'd be a good little sort of a section for Kell Brook, wouldn't it, to have the possibility of a winner meets Pacquiao fight against a fighter of the quality of Rios, a fight that will capture the imaginations of fight fans over here, because Rios is an entertaining fighter, Greg. That would be something to look forward to at the end of August or later in the autumn, wouldn't it?
Definitely, that's what Kell needs, like I said before. He needs that fight. Quote me if I'm wrong, but I think I just heard Brandon Rios said that, you know, Kell's a bit, you know, a big name now, he's getting a big name. So I'm glad about that, because everyone's saying he's not big enough. You know, can't say he's not big enough name. So he's got his name out there. You know, people are starting to take notice of Kell. So he puts him in that mix for these big fights. And, you know, if he does get the fight with Brandon Rios, and obviously the super fight with Manny Pacquiao, like Dominic said, it's the way forward. It's what Kell wants.
It certainly looks as if his star is growing in America, Dominic, because I spoke to Michael Buffer last week and he was speaking glowingly of Kell Brook and saying that actually he's very underrated and he hopes that with more attention and some big fights around the horizon, that he could become a very big name in America.
Yeah, I mean, he's been over to America and won the title, which is great, and a lot of the fight fans, you know, saw that fight. But that's where the big fights are in America. You know, that's where his name's going to be made. I remember Nazim Hamid going over there and fighting Kevin Kelly, and everybody loved that fight, you know, and it nearly didn't go Naz's way, but he climbed off the floor three times and then finally put away Kevin Kelly, and that almost, you know, warmed him to the Americans. You know, they thought he was brash and loud-mouthed and couldn't live up to the hype, but, you know, he did.
If you were to have any input, if we were to put yourself in Eddie Hearn's shoes for a moment there, Dom, and to sort of plan out what could be a good sort of three-fight plan for Kell Brook, you know, Rios and then potentially Pacquiao, and then what would you look at after that? Would it have to be a mandatory after that, or could he potentially look at another Mayweather if he's going to fight again, or what could he do after that, do you think?
I mean, I think the next step, Brandon Rios is an ideal fight because it'll appeal to American TV. You know, he's acquitted himself quite well, Brandon Rios. Like I said, getting through the rounds with Manny Pacquiao, and you can compare then his performance against Kell. And I think Kell are going against Manny Pacquiao. But, you know, it'd be great when you think that, you know, up until about a month ago, the three world champion was Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao and Kell. Now, it's only Mayweather and Kell, and there's rumours that, you know, Mayweather's give up his titles, and if that's true, that means that the only legitimate world champion out there is Kell Brook. So a great, you know, progression. Kell's 29. I think a great step, you know, for me, if I could pick the fights, I'd say Brandon Rios or any good, you know, top five American, you know, out there, Manny Pacquiao and then Floyd Mayweather. And I think Manny Pacquiao's just getting, you know, he's just showing signs in his last fight. It looked like he'd lost his ambition a little bit against Floyd Mayweather. And I think he's just on the, you know, the right time, you know, where it'd be ideal for Kell to fight him.
Yeah, what do you think, Greg? Do you think it'd be a good time from what you saw, perhaps, of that Mayweather-Pacquiao fight?
Yeah, he's ready. Kell's ready. He's more than ready for these big fights. And like we said before, it's the motivation for him. If I don't think... A lot of people say, no, he's fighting road sweepers. He's not fighting road sweepers at all. You know, like I said with Jojo Dan, never been beat. You know, it's not that Kell Brook is fighting road sweepers. He's such an elite level that he needs to be fighting them, you know, elite fighters in the division.
Yeah, and that's not really a criticism that anyone can throw at Kell. I mean, the Jojo Dan fight, he'd not been stopped before, and it was a mandatory defence, wasn't it, Dom? Sean Porter, very highly rated in America, and like I said earlier, was all set to fight Mayweather. And when you look at Khan, for example, and the people that he's fought, and while he will argue that he's selling out arenas in America and fighting all these guys, none of the fighters that he's taking on are particularly powerful, are they?
No, I mean, I think his last couple of opponents have all been non-punchers, Khan. And if I was Khan's manager or advisor, I'd do the same thing. I'd keep him winning in the hope he's going to hit the jackpot and fight Floyd Mayweather. You know, that's what you've got to do, you know, failing that Manny Pacquiao. But Khan is in desperate need of a big fight. He's been up at that level. He's been world champion. And for me, he's just coming down the other side of the hill. He's not taking any risks. So at some point, you know, I think we're expecting in a couple of weeks, Floyd Mayweather's going to announce who his next opponent is. It just makes me wonder what's going to happen if it's not Khan. You know, what is Khan going to do next? That's what everybody's going to be looking at. And for Kell, you know, maybe he's in the mix. We don't know. Let's just wait and see.
Well, there was this tweet from Lance Pugmire, who is an LA Times writer and he covers boxing for the LA Times. And he tweeted out on June the 3rd that he was told that Floyd Mayweather will move toward his next opponent, and it will be Amir Khan or Kell Brook. And he'll make that decision within 2 weeks. And this is really the first time, Dominic, that somebody in America has linked Mayweather to Kell Brook as opposed to just Amir Khan. If you're Amir Khan right now, you must be thinking, hang on, this is his worst nightmare, isn't it? If Kell Brook, having denied the fight with Brook for so long, if Kell Brook is going to nip in there now and fight Mayweather next.
It kind of keeps Khan on the back foot. If he's thinking, you know, I'm the only legitimate opponent for Floyd Mayweather, and then Floyd puts it out there, or somebody does, who Floyd's leaked it to, that Kell Brook's in the mix, it almost, you know, stops Amir Khan trying to demand things on his terms. It's almost like, behave yourself, Amir, and you might get the fight. Otherwise, we've always got Kell Brook, who we know you're a bitter rival with, and you know you wouldn't want to see that fight go to him. So it's more, for me, it's more or less like saying to Amir, you know, play ball with us, and you might get the fight. But it's great that they mentioned Kell's name. If I was Floyd Mayweather at this stage, and it was a choice between Amir Khan and Kell Brook, I'd take Amir Khan. And then if I get through that fight, then I think about Kell Brook. You know, Amir Khan's been beat. There's been a chink in his armour. Just like Manny Pacquiao, don't forget, Floyd Mayweather never boxed Manny Pacquiao at his peak. You know, he never boxed him when he was unbeaten. Well, sorry, I tell a lie. He had been beaten, but not in the effect where, you know, Marquez knocked him out. And when Floyd Mayweather saw that, he realised, yeah, Manny Pacquiao can be knocked out. And he can be beaten easily. Then he took the risk. And for me, he wasn't the peak Manny Pacquiao. So, you know, Floyd likes to get them at the right time. And because he's the superstar that he is, he can pick and choose anybody who wants to, you know, anybody who wants to fight. And it's a great opportunity for anybody who fights Floyd Mayweather. You know, he's a great chance, a great amount of money and great prestige.
How much do you think that his legacy, Greg, is important to Mayweather right now? I mean, he's not going to want to end his career, for example, on a defeat. And while he's saying that he's going to retire after this last fight, I think a lot of people expect that he's going to probably go on while he's making these huge amounts of money to box. Do you think it's vital for him? Do you think finishing unbeaten is important? And could that play against Kell Brook?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, who else is there left to fight for Mayweather? You know, is he going to have someone for a third time, a second time? There's, you know, he's, I'm not saying he's running out of opponents, but, you know, there's up-and-coming, you know, people, Amir Khan and obviously Kell Brook. If I was Mayweather, I think he's probably being sensible. And from what the guys tweeted, I don't know his name, what you just said, he'd probably say he's probably making a little bit of a commotion between Amir Khan and Kell, and probably saying, let them fight together. I don't know. And then pick with it with one of them. Give Biden a bit more time. I'm not sure his motive, but I've not heard anything from our camp, you know, suggesting that Mayweather's wants to fight Kell Brook as yet. So I don't know his motives, but he's definitely want to go out on a win. And obviously, like Dom said, echoing what Dom said, it'll be the easiest choice, which for me is Amir Khan.
If Kell Brook fights either of Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao, Dom, just how big would that fight be for, you know, one of the fighters that the Ingle Gym has been associated with? It would have to be right up there, wouldn't it?
Oh, massive, you know, without a doubt. You know, I remember years back when Nazim Hamid was, you know, riding the crest of a wave, and Floyd Mayweather was a big fan. I think he's a few years old, younger than Naz, 4 or 5 years younger. And for me, you know, Naz never achieved what he should have done and what he should have achieved. You know, I always remember Brendan saying, you know, Naz can win, you know, 4 or 5 world titles at different weights, which he could have done. Look what Floyd Mayweather's done. He's gone from super featherweight up the divisions up to, light middleweight, you know, at world titles, different divisions. And, you know, Nazim Hamid had the ability to do that. So realistically, Floyd Mayweather now, you know, he's the highest paid sports person. And especially in boxing, he's the name. And for, you know, a British fighter to get the chance, you know, Ricky Hatton did it, put up a great performance for 5 or 6 rounds. But the thing is, we killed Brook. We've been to America before. We're not intimidated by the Americans. They talk big, you know, they're brash. And it's just water for ducks back to for Kell, and he would relish that challenge, and he would go in with the intention, you know, that there was only going to be one winner in that fight, and it weren't going to be Floyd Mayweather.
What kind of buzz do you think would be in the camp, Greg? When, I mean, not Kell would be excited about it, but what would you guys, as part of his team, be thinking about a potential fight against one of the big two?
This might sound strange to say, but it'd probably be the same as every other camp. To be honest, you know, it's very professional. You know, there's a job at hand, no matter who it is, Frankie Gavin, Jojo Dan. It'd be the same. You know, Kell trains exactly the same for every single fight. It's only what Kell can get motivated for. So, really, Kell would be the only one that's probably going to be in a different mental state, be more up for it. You know, nothing else will change because everything's got to still be professional. But, yeah, there's going to be a big buzz. Obviously the gym, everything to get promoted, oh, it's all about Mayweather and this, so yeah, there is a buzz there, but there's still the job at hand to do. And I think, only like you say, after he wins Mayweather, then you look back and think, how actually big was that, you know?
Yeah. Do you think he would change at all, Dominic? Do you think that his when he's got such a big fight coming up, is he quite level-headed and capable of just sort of focusing on what he has to do? He doesn't get nervous. What is he like as a personality going into a big fight?
Yeah, you know, with Kelly, once you've been, he's been doing it 20 years. It's like when you first learn to drive and you have driving lessons. And it's all novelty and it's exciting. And after one or two years or three or four years, it becomes a chore driving. It's just one of those things. And with boxing, you know, that's why Kel's been brought up. He's lived boxing for 20 years since being a kid. That's all he knows. And you get all the build up, the hype, the media attention. But when the bell goes and you're in that ring, You've got to beat the guy in front of you, and it's having the ability to realise, yeah, you know, don't let you know, the reputation precede the fighter. With Floyd Mayweather, he's got all the hype and everything else, but we've been over to America, we've seen Floyd Mayweather train, we've been to his gym, you know, we've also had that kind of situation when Nazim Hamid was a big superstar in boxing. So, you know, Kel's very used to that situation. It's not something he hasn't seen before. He's grown up with that. You know, the buzz in the gym when Naz was about, Kel's getting to that stage now. You know, Naz was 21, you know, when he became world champion 2021. And, you know, from an early age, we had all this media attention. He had the build-up, the multi-million pound fights, the flash cars, everything. Kel's 28, 29, so he's more mature than Naz was. And, you know, he's used to that. He's used to what's coming. But he loves it. He thrives off that, Kel. He loves the buzz. He loves, you know, he'll sign an autograph for anybody. He'll have his picture taken with kids. He's always got plenty of time. He thrives off that. So that's not going to faze him. And the reputation what Floyd Mayweather brings into ring is not going to bother Kel Brook, because he's 37 years old, I think. Kel's 29. Kel's got youth on his side. You know, Floyd's got all the experience. But there's very, very few fighters in boxing who finish on top. Mike Tyson didn't finish on top, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard didn't finish on top, Thomas Hearns didn't finish on top, neither did Marvin Hagler. Floyd Mayweather so far has, but he has for his last couple of fights picked, you know, the fighters that he wants to face and the conditions. You're not wearing those type of gloves, you're wearing these, we're doing this, we're not doing that. It's almost all set up for him to do what he wants to do. But the thing is with Kel Brook will go into that ring with ambition to win the fight. It won't be about the money with Floyd Mayweather. It'd be about being the man who beats Floyd Mayweather. And if Floyd Mayweather sticks around too long, he will get beat.
Do you think that if Kel Brook fought Mayweather in the next year, that he would beat Mayweather?
Yeah, I think he would do. I think, you know, let's just see who Mayweather's going to face next. Is he going to fight past September? I don't think Kel's going to get this fight in September. I think we've got his mindset on what we're doing. And if the fight was given for September now, it probably wouldn't be in the time frame for Kel to be where we want him to be. So you'd be looking, I think, about next May. By that time, Kel will be 30, Mayweather will be 38. So, you know, if the fight came next May and it was offered to Kel Brook and we had time and we had probably another fight before Christmas, I think Kel Brook has got a very, very good chance of beating Floyd Mayweather.
Just to wrap up, is there still a possibility down the line? And obviously there's still a lot of fights at welterweight that will interest Kel Brook and interest you guys, but could moving up a weight as well, is that something that could potentially happen one day?
Yeah, he could do. I mean, before the age of 30, making weight, you know, Kel's a big welterweight. When he went to America, the Americans couldn't believe how big he was. You know, they all thought he was a middleweight. But he's built like a middleweight. And at some point, you know, making weight becomes difficult for me, you know, in my experience after the age of 30. So, I would, you know, if the fights are there, you know, there will probably be a day when Kel Brook has to move to maybe light middleweight. And he'd still be a big light middleweight. And there's still some decent fights out there for him. But I think what he needs to do, well, ever we've got this scene with Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, you know, they're the fights. You've got to keep in that division until those fights have been done, or Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather are no longer in that division and they've packed up. If they pack up, you know, it might be an idea to move up to light middleweight. But the reason, you know, Kel Brook's staying at welterweight at the minute, he's world champion, and there's still at least three good fights. Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather and Amir Khan there for Kel, and that could take next 2 years to get them fights off. Do you know what I mean? So let's just see what happens. It's all a case of waiting and seeing what the other top guys are doing. The top guys, Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, it all depends on what they're doing, because they're the fights that Kel Brook wants.
What a 2 years it could be. Greg, just to finish on this nutrition point, I mean, if you're handling a welterweight or a lighter guy, a heavier guy, do you have to adjust sort of diets to manage the size of a person, or is it pretty similar for everybody?
No, it's entirely different. It's all personal. Whether you're... you know, like you said, middleweight, lightweight, super bantam. It's all personal, but everybody's different in themselves. Everyone's makeup's different. So how they work and how they fuel on different foods and how much, and it's all entirely different. So it's a diversity of different people. I think it's enjoyable. If it's all the same, it's like, oh, here we go again. But everyone's different. Everyone works different, ticks different.
Does it feel like within the team that this is, you know, what an exciting 2 years? Do you ever sort of think that way? Or is it just because you're so focused on the job?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you look back and you think, actually, you know, when you sit back and look at it as a whole, like now, we've got a week off and a break, you look back and you think, actually, yeah, it's quite big. It's massive. But we only realise that when you take the time out and then we're straight into another camp, it's like, here we go again. You know, but it's massive.
It's all about keeping Kelbrook on this roller coaster ride and making sure there's no crashes. And it's, you know, it's a difficult task because you have to contend with a lot of things. And as long as we know he's got to win each fight coming to him, he's got to keep on it. Nobody can get complacent. You know, we can't get complacent. You know, he might be winning fights and they might be easy, but the one thing you can never do is take your foot off the gas. If Kelbrook tries to take his foot off the gas, there's always me and Greg pressing on the accelerator and making it go forward. We're not going to be an easy street and sitting back and thinking, you know, resting on our laurels. We realise what's got to be done. We've got to look at the time frames for training camps and fights and make sure it's ideal for Kelbrook to get into that ring in peak performance, because we can see what happens when he doesn't, as in Carson Jones, the first fight. You know, somebody who's giving him problems shouldn't be giving him problems, and we can't allow that ever to happen again.
I mean, everybody in Sheffield looking forward to seeing what's next for Kel, and I'm sure everybody eager to see if he's going to fight in Sheffield again. Eddie Hearn says that his next fight could well be in the city. We certainly hope that's the case. Greg and Dom, thanks a lot for coming in. This is BBC Radio Sheffield.